want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 3. I'm going to try that again. Episode 403, recorded live on May 20th, 2015. I'm your host, Ted Hard Hat, with
Scott Burks
and Task 427.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 63031-VOICE and find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and on Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. See, you know what happens? Scott Burks comes back after a month, and I am so—I don't know what to do with myself. I'm scared that he's back. He is that lively character. You just don't know what happens when he's back. How you doing, guys?
I'm back.
He is back.
I'm back.
So everybody needs to know. So, how did the Kidlins do in baseball, and where's the trophy?
Well, baseball's not done yet. The season's just started. It's like 18 games. They're only 5 games in.
Ah.
But they're all, now the rest of the games for the rest of the season are all on Saturday, Sunday, and Tuesday, and Thursday. There's some more Wednesday games.
Awesome.
So far they're 4-1. Toby's, last time I checked, he was leading the league in RBIs. And he was, I think, third in the league in strikeouts.
Holy cow.
He's playing great. He's batting fifth, and he's just killing. I mean, he was... Up until the fifth game, he was batting 1,000. Up until the fifth game,
really,
he finally struck out once in the fifth game. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but he's been cranking the ball. He's played really good. Yeah,
that's awesome.
He was in the art show. I went last night to the art show. He was in the for the high school. He made the high school art show.
Abstract or landscape?
No, it was actually a self image.
Really?
I put it on Twitter. It's on Twitter.
I'll have to check that out because I can't draw. I'm from parents that are both artists. I can't draw a circle to save my life. And, you know, that's why I got into graphics, is so that I could use other tools to actually make stuff. Yeah. My noses look like,
he
bananas.
He did it for me. There's no doubt about that. Definitely
did it for me. That's awesome.
Not from his mother. So, so it's been a month, it was weird being gone a month, I missed it, it was weird not being, I was on Daryl's show.
Yes, I found that very odd.
You literally last second called me and said, hey, Mac, can you fill in, can you get on my show? I'm like, yeah, sure, it's a Thursday night, I got nothing to do, So, yeah, and I got to bitch and moan about the moratorium, so I was happy.
That's good. Yes,
I was listening to you guys, and I was like just shaking because I couldn't get it out. What I wanted to say.
I read what you put in, and there were a couple of modifications in the verbiage, but other than that.
Yeah, I you know what I've realized is that I really need someplace to spew my BS because like it just builds and it's just not healthy for me.
Yes, I know. We've discussed this in the past. That's why I think every 6 months we have to have a Scott rant show and just let them go.
I need a podcast to just spew my anger.
There it is.
To get it out, so to speak.
People they eat that stuff up. All right. Well, good stuff.
It's good to be back.
It is good to have you back, sir. Thank you so much. Corey may be in. His Windows said that his update would be sometime in 472 days. So whether he actually makes it or not, I don't blame him.
Was there a Windows update?
Yeah, it was an automatic Windows update that he did not know about. And way it went.
Setting 3 of 92.
Yes.
Oh, God. Did he not do it soon enough, and now they like mandatorily did it?
I've actually done shows where my main computer. That's why I'm going to Mac for that, because I've had it where I've literally been doing a podcast like this, and it just automatically starts an update.
I'll have mine. The internet will just die on it, and I can't revive the internet on it at all. And then I'll shut it down, and then it starts the update 1 of 95.
Yes.
Every single time that my network locks up, it's because it's waiting on me to power it down to do all the updates.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, I'm on a Mac, and I have a PC at work, but yeah, I'm very happy with my Mac.
Yeah, the reason why I have a Windows kit is because I have to use my vampire extraction kit on something. That's what I use it on. It's the stake to the heart just to make sure that it keeps going. I'm just saying.
I don't like it at all. I much prefer them. I mean, like I said, I've used Windows at work for 3 years, and I use a Mac at home, and I much, much prefer a Mac to a PC.
Yeah, so we'll be switching some stuff. Anyways, Taz, you've been gone a little bit too, sir. How you been doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. But it's been raining here, so, you know, rain, go away. Happy Taz, he wants to play.
Rain in 90 degrees.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Boo-hoo. You know,
yeah, 90 degrees and 99.99% humidity. Yeah, that's not good.
The warm blanket effect. I love that. We were just talking about that today. Awesome stuff. So, yeah, by the way, if you haven't noticed, we've got extra guests here in the GeoSnippet Studios. We just pulled them in off the street. It was really great. She had a tie-dye T-shirt on, and I said, hey, you got to come on the show. But we got Lisa and TJ from Cash Advance. How you doing, guys?
Good.
They went on a little trip on the way to Geo Woodstock. And so just for a highlighter, give a brief on what you've been up to the past day or two or six.
Yeah, okay. A few miles. You got it?
New Jersey, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, New York, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Kentucky, Virginia, Tennessee, South Carolina, and now North Carolina, and still need to do Maryland, Delaware, and D.C. But other than that, it's been just
What's the line about doing a straight line from point A to point B?
Yeah, no, that doesn't happen with us.
not when you're a geocacher.
No, yeah.
So are all those new states for you?
For me, the majority of them are, except for we picked up New York, Pennsylvania when Woodstock was in Warren.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And
we
then
drove all the way for that one.
And then we picked up Kentucky when Woodstock was in
Indiana.
Sellersburg, Indiana. I'm a native Hoosier, so
okay, there we go.
Okay,
we don't talk about that much. Yeah.
So yeah, a bunch of new states for me. However, Woodstock and Bellbuckle is when you'd picked up the majority of them.
Right, and then I did a New England tour a few years ago. So
yeah.
So far, New Jersey was new, and West Virginia.
Wow, that's awesome.
Okay. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
That's like the whole East Coast you got going.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, wow, yeah, we nice. Landed at midnight, 1 a.m. Thursday morning, and we had lunch in Maine. Oh, we landed in New Jersey. And then we had
did
lunch
you leave
in Maine.
One state hanging, or did you get them all? Did you
got
cut out the whole East Coast?
Well, yeah. Technically, North Carolina is hanging right now.
Yeah. they've crossed the entire state from west to east and haven't gotten a cache yet, so we got to fix that before they hit up.
Yeah.
Exactly. Andy, you don't have a cache in your yard. Shame on
you. Don't laugh at the birdhouse that we're going to do for a travel bug hotel sitting in on the desk in the front room here.
Oh, we can just sign the log.
You just sign a log and get it in.
Yeah. We'll hide it and then we'll. Yeah,
but yeah, it's perfect. Great.
Okay.
You know, it's all you got to do. If not, I got about 700 ammo boxes in my room, so we'll figure something out.
Sure.
It's all in the placement. All right, let's see. Let's move on real quick to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. I got nothing from Daryl. I don't know what he's doing. He's didn't send me the update for this week, so I can't tell you what geocareheads are going on, but I suggest that you go over tomorrow on Thursday and go give him a listen because... What's that?
I'm actually going to go see him. I'm seeing him this weekend.
Are you really?
Me and Shorty are going out there on Friday. We're going to stay in.
You
going
to go to the new house?
We are going to see the new house.
Yes. Very nice. Well, say hi to him. Give him a hug.
I will. Uh-huh. I will.
That's awesome.
Maybe we can get in the studio and record something.
So that would be great. I've seen pictures of it, and if it's anything like his apartment was, This should be interesting.
Oh. Tell him hi from us, too.
Yes.
I will. Absolutely. Yeah. I definitely will.
Awesome. And tell him to send us a list of his shows because it makes it a lot easier for us to have content.
He's got them booked through, like, December.
Yeah, December of 2017.
Oh,
jeez. It's like, jeez.
He called me in October. He's like, what are you doing in April? I'm like, hopefully still breathing. That's my main goal.
Yeah, it's like waking up. It's a good thing. Jeez.
Is that an ambitious goal? Or
it can be.
How far he does his shows at.
He's got his stuff booked for whatever. I mean, he's got to make up for people dying and in between before something happens. He's got to make it up that way.
He's probably booked. He's probably finished the year out. He's probably booked through the year.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, he's very organized. Yeah.
To a T. Let's see. As far as the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast, we're not going to be doing a show tomorrow because we were given a reprieve by our viewers. Thank you, viewers. They literally said we.
I didn't give you a reprieve.
Well, you're one of the viewers, but I'm just saying, a lot did, Nanners.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we went through and they said, hey, by the way, we know that it's a long trip going up there and there's a lot of other things going on. Go find out about that stuff. Come back and tell us. So that's what we're going to
do. Yeah, go have fun. We'll miss you, but
yeah.
Have fun.
Are you kidding? There's been times where we haven't had a show and people joined up in the chat room on geosnippets.com and had their own thing.
Been there.
It's like they don't need us. We're just filler.
Yeah. Just something pretty to look
something
at.
Something to look at, make fun of. It's great. They point. I'm used to it. Anyways, finally, before we get into all the fun stuff, please, 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 if you haven't already, become a patron of the Geocaching Podcast. We'd greatly appreciate it. Just go to geocachingpodcast.com/live, and you'll see on the right-hand side of the screen of please become a patron. And if you do that, just give a couple bucks a month if you would. It literally helps keep the lights on, and we greatly, greatly appreciate it. You know, it costs money to do podcasts like this, and with your help, we're able to go through and keep things going from week to week. If you get any useful knowledge at all, please send us a couple bucks. We'd appreciate it. We try. We really do.
And if you don't get any useful knowledge,
if you don't, send
10 send
bucks any,
so
yes.
We can, you know, develop.
We'll try to do it. We'll do better. We promise. Okay. No, who are we kidding? We're doing what we do. You know, it's funny, Scott. We actually got a viewer feedback last week I was reading. It was really kind of cute. And he said, we really love listening to your show because you guys don't hold back any punches. You say what you think and you go with that. And I'm like, Scott, thank you. Yeah, saying what they do, and they like it, and we love it. So, yeah, please consider becoming a patron. We appreciate it. All right, we have a special guest for the next segment here. We have the geocaching question of the day, and it's not even taped. All right, you ready, sir?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here we go.
Geocaching question of the day.
So,
you're on.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm JD Kidvegas 19. I'm here to disappoint all the fans wanting to hear Lisa do the geocaching question of the day.
We hear her all the time.
So I began geocaching in 2008 and the business of geocaching about 2011.
Yeah.
And when I became vice president in charge of heavy lifting, of cash and bands.
You too, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
That's how that goes. All title, no pay. So Monday, Cash Advance asked the question, have you found any night caches? Okay. And so we tallied up the answers that we received through Facebook and Google Plus. And what we found out is 75% of the responders said yes, they did find night caches, and 25% said no, and 0% said they didn't understand the question. So it was interesting, on the no side, Eric reported he tried to do one, but I shouldn't be laughing, the tack trail ran out on him. Because the tacks were burned up in a controlled burn. So that's just unfortunate luck. Something I didn't think about in all this, Dawn reports that She hasn't found any because the work schedule interferes. So,
yeah, I imagine. Shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I found this one funny. Cleve says no, but I just hid my first night cash. How crazy is that?
Oh, you know, I bet you Cleve, he's one of our Cash Crate members.
Ah, all right.
Yeah, and we did our Cash Crates all about night caching.
Oh, yeah,
we just
that's
went
right.
out last week. Yeah.
Oh, geez. So you, way to go. So, yeah, and then many of the other respondents mentioned that it is something that they're. It is on their list of things to do.
Oh yeah,
yeah. On the yes side, another thing I didn't think of. Pam reports summertime in Las Vegas makes night caching very appealing. Okay, that makes
nice.
Sense. Yeah. And then Dave reports that night caches tend to be favorite worthy, and we got a couple comments along that line for that. You know, many of them. Many of the respondents said that night caches were their favorite type of cache to do. And many also, and this makes sense, wished for a special icon for a night cache. So it would be easier to track how many they've done.
Sure.
And I don't know what it would take to make that happen.
You're
but
not
it's,
getting that.
Yeah. I wouldn't hold my breath right away.
Yeah, there is a night cache attribute that
can
attribute be attached.
Night caches. Yeah. If people use those attributes. I've done a lot of night caches that should have had the attribute that did not.
I've actually FTF'd a night cache during the day.
Wow.
It's so much easier to find the tax that way.
It can be.
It was a lot harder during the day because I did it at night too, but I went during the day to try and FTF it. And like, I went again with somebody else at night. I'm like, oh, this is much easier at night.
They really pop.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I could see that for yards.
You throw a flashlight in the daytime, it's just, you're barely seeing it, man.
Yeah.
I was working on an attribute challenge down here and I needed to get a night cache one. I'd done several caches that should have been listed as night caches. But I was trying to get it, and I was up in the area of town where it had it. I had my flashlight, but it was daytime. Luckily, it's 1100 lumen flashlight, and I'm sitting there in the daylight. with that brightness, you can see the star tags.
But. Oh yeah, sure.
Did that make you look more suspicious or less suspicious?
Thankfully, I was. In the woods, across a bayou, in the woods, so pretty solo out there, except for maybe some wild.
They're just sitting there going, "Yeah, he's just poaching. Don't worry about it." Yeah. Beginner poach.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, JD. That was awesome. Good stuff.
Yeah,
you know, I do. I'm curious how much people figure nighttime geocaches that aren't classified nighttime geocaches. They just find them at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as opposed to actually going on an actual nighttime geocache, quite the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a night cacher. You know, I mean, I think 70% of my caches I found have been at night. Mm-hmm. But you know, maybe less than 1% of those have been night caches.
Yeah.
It's just I cache at night.
That's it.
Yeah, I think for it to be counted as a night cache, in my opinion, it has to be themed to work at night. Might need a flashlight to do it. I mean, one that I did went up a 1,500 feet up a sewer tunnel.
Ew.
But it was themed to be done at night, and I waited until after dark. It didn't matter anyways.
You're in a tube.
It was going to be dark inside. No,
there. It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-mm-mm. All right, so let's move on. We've got special guests Lisa and JD from Cache Advance. And thank you guys so much for being here. This is awesome for driving 5,000 miles from Washington State to here.
Just to be here.
That is some dedication, I must tell you. Yeah. Good stuff.
Well, thanks for the invite.
No problem.
Thank you. And dinner.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, we went to Macaw's, which is anytime somebody says, well, what's Southern cooking like? I break them in with Macaw's. Before you actually get, real Southern, but it's close enough.
Yeah, it's good.
Deep fried and covered in gravy, you can't go wrong. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah, when I was in West Virginia a couple of years ago, and Jesse's dad's wife cooked us Southern breakfast.
Oh,
it was ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
When you start getting
heart-cloggingly good.
Yes, when you start getting that Southern, you don't say what's in it, just eat it. Yeah, just go.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff. So guys, we get the rare privilege of having you guys here, and you know, it's awesome stuff. We got a little teaser of all you've done with your trip mm-hmm. getting here. Mm-hmm. Before we get into all this, let's get into some stuff about Cash Advance. And Scott and Chaz, if you've got questions, by all means, just jump in and start asking questions, and we'll go from there. And we've got the chat room going too. Lisa's got her computer right here, and she's mm-hmm. hooking in. So if you got questions, by all means, please bring them in. I don't think they've gotten too much into the origins and the history.
Sure.
Because if you go any event, anywhere, anything that deals with geocaching, Cash Advance is there.
We try our hardest to be a part of everything.
And you're doing a great job, and you've got a lot of people now helping out with all that fun. Mm-hmm. How did you start into all this fun stuff?
Wow, it's a long story, a long time ago.
We got some time.
Okay.
Well, let me guess, since 2005.
Well, you know, I started caching in 2002.
These guys, oh, man, it's like watching Mockingbirds. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, I finally got
You left yourself wide open for that.
That's okay. I had just finished my degree working at college mm-hmm. and was working full-time at the same time. So I'm like, what am I going to do with all this extra time now that I'm not in school anymore?
Right.
But I wanted to do something to bring in a little extra income, got some student loans, wanted to get paid off. And a friend suggested, well, actually what I had said was I thought maybe I might go do some retail sales or something. Christmas season was coming up.
Sure.
And I used to do that, manage multiple retail stores. And I said, but, you know, it's really going to get in the way of my geocaching.
There are priorities.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and so she suggested, well, why don't you just do something around geocaching?
Yeah.
And literally that moment, it was like this idea just visualized in my head, a geocaching repair kit. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, I don't think anybody's actually put one together. So I went on all the forums, geocaching forums, looked at, you know, anybody had mentioned anything about it, and I'd been caching for a while, so I knew what I wanted to carry around and what I did, and put it together and went to the Small Business Administration, and they loved the idea. They mm-hmm. said, go for it.
Yeah.
I didn't ask for any money. I was just there looking for advice, and it was a good idea.
Yes, of course they're going to say, go.
Yeah. Yes, give us our $100 and enjoy.
That's it.
Yeah, luckily it's free. the coaching that they give.
Sure.
Yeah, so I did. I put that, all the different parts together, and the Dr. B's cash repair kit, that was my very first product.
What's the B stand for?
That's my dad.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. I named it after my father, Dr. Breitenfeld.
That's awesome.
Is that still on sale today? Do you still sell that today?
I do. It's in its third version.
Yeah, we've given it on GeoSnippets mm-hmm. mm-hmm. for prices.
What was in the first version?
Lots of stuff, actually. The first version was really more about making repairs to the physical container. Because back in 05, that's, you know, caches were Rubbermaids and Tupperwares.
Sure.
And
bigger
types of containers. So there was camouflage tape. There was Velcro, magnets, bison O-rings. So you could replace the O-rings to your bison.
Oh, man, I can give a kidney for those.
Yeah. I got a bunch of them. You have to come out and visit us.
No problem.
Yeah,
we're there.
Yeah, we'll hand them out. Yeah. All sorts of other odds and ends that you might use to repair the actual containers.
Sure.
But then over the years, we realized caches obviously are getting much smaller, and really all that's needed is just a maintenance kit. So that's what we do now. And then we also do a special version just for geocaching.com. Mm-hmm. They're actually one of our biggest customers.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. And so they have some of their own branded materials that go inside that but are very similar to the ones that we sell directly.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That is awesome.
Yeah.
So you start out and you start selling these things. Did it just blossom into, holy cow, can we keep up? Or how did that, what happened there?
Yeah, it really did. I put them on eBay. I didn't even have a website at the time. I showed up at our Halloween event. That would have been that was before you were caching. Before he was caching.
Don't you remember I said it since 08?
Yeah. So showed up and was literally selling them out the back of my car. And I blew through the entire inventory. I think I made 100. And they were gone by Christmas time. And I thought, maybe I'm onto something. Either I, give this up and it was fun, or I make more. And then start adding more and more products.
That must have been quite a sell. I can see the white van opening up and, psst, hey, buddy, want to buy a geocache repair kit?
Yeah, we have a joke, when I show up at events, people are like, hey, Lisa, what did you bring with you?
Right,
especially
right.
if I've traveled, a couple hours to a, a cash machine or something. And the joke is that I get one of those vests that I can have, micros on this side and trackables on this side. Yeah.
Bison.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you made those 100 and you sold those 100 and then is that when you decided, all right, I'm going to go for it and I'm going to try and make a living doing this? Is that the, or was it even before that?
No, it took a while actually. It was more of just sort of a hobby. My degree was in business, so it was more of a way to learn about running a that sort of business and online.
Oh yeah,
before I really hadn't
great way to run
online sales.
Yeah,
and in 2005 it was brand new.
Right.
I mean,
pretty much, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, caching was still pretty fresh and new. There really weren't.
Sure.
There was no place to buy things. Couldn't go to the store and go, oh, I want to buy some geocaching gear because nobody had it.
Absolutely.
And so that was one of the reasons I kept adding more and more products to my line. People kept asking me, hey, we're looking for this, or I would see a something that would be useful, a different type of cache container or something. And so I would go out and source it or figure out how to make it. And we would actually be, me and some friends, in my basement, because the original cache cave was my basement of my home. Yeah. That's how I got the name Cave, because it was kind
That's
of
great.
Yeah. And so I did it along with working full time for, I think, till 2009. And then at that time, I realized I could do this full-time and make a living.
Wow.
That's great.
So what... Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Scott.
It's interesting because it's a niche market.
Yeah.
It's extremely niche market, but it's a vessel... For being a niche market, it's also a very loyal customer. It seems to be a very loyal customer base, to you or into geocaching.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, most non-cachers, most muggles don't really understand cachers. And it's funny, I get asked every now and then if I actually geocache.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I do. Been doing that a lot longer.
How many finds do you have? How many finds?
I'm closing in at 8,000.
All right, that's respectable. All right, good.
Okay. Yeah, Mr. 16, 17, where are you at now?
I don't want it to be like, I have 500 finds.
Some of us don't have as many, but that's okay.
Yeah, Andy over there.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to do a podcast, I'm saying. So what started working after that? So you were having success with the repair kits.
Mm-hmm.
What started sprouting from there as far as ideas and things that people wanted?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, it's funny because I had an overage of some products.
Really?
This is back in 2006.
Oh,
but, when I was doing the cash repair kits, I was originally going to put in an entire roll of camouflage tape, and it was just too big and bulky, so I had to cut it into 6-inch strips, and so I ended up with like 50 extra rolls of tape, camouflage tape. I'm like, oh, I really ought to build a website and start selling all of these extra things. I became a dealer for Bison, who make the Bison tubes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's how they got the name Bison. It's a company called Bison Designs.
I actually have an entire, on my blog, I actually talked to, is it Pixie. At Bison, and because I got curious. Somebody asked, where did the original Bison tube come from? And they did the same thing, because geocachers came by, and I'm assuming you were a main thrust in this now that I think about it. Suddenly they're at geocaching events doing stuff, and wow, that's awesome.
Well, what was the Bison for? What was it originally?
Medical pills and stuff.
Yeah, to hold your nitroglycerin pills.
It is an actual pill container.
Yep.
Because they're waterproof.
Oh, yeah.
They're not really made to withstand freezing and thawing over and over again, hence the O-rings going
bad.
Yeah.
Talk about like a second, like, a second coming for them. I mean,
oh yeah,
how much business?
Yeah,
you know,
for that particular product, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, for the little bisons, yeah, and now they're making nanos as well.
Oh, are they really? Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, smart.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, it was funny because I talked with them. Gosh, it must have been 6-7 years ago, at the outdoor retailer summer market.
Right,
it's a giant outdoor trade show,
mm-hmm.
But it's just for industry members. It's 25,000 to 30,000 attendees, and it's closed to the public.
Wow!
So it's an amazing show. JD's been with me
four times.
Yeah. We've exhibited there, and then we've also gone as buyers too.
Yeah.
And I pulled them aside and I said, I had a nano with me, and I said, you know, this is a lot like your bisons.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you guys could make this? And they looked at me like I was crazy. And 3-4 years later.
Hey, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I came to you first. But that's okay. They give me special.
It will sell. I promise. It will sell.
Yes.
Yeah, it will sell.
If you make it, they will come.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then put a piece of paper in it and then hide it. I mean, you know, that's what they do.
Well, it's like the whole, like the camera, you know, the film's canister. I mean,
yeah.
What about a second life for those things?
35 I mean, millimeters? Yeah.
No kidding. They're hard to find these days.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got to have connections. I'm just saying.
Oh.
These days.
Oh, okay.
This day and age, yeah, you definitely need connections.
No. Well, I'm just saying, Wolf. Find the Wolf camera stores.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, I bet those matchstick containers and stuff.
All
they
of those.
Probably sell more of those as geocaching containers today than they do as holding matchsticks.
Well, what's interesting about the matchstick container is this trip to Salt Lake, we go right through Idaho Falls, Idaho, which has a huge Army surplus store.
Sure.
So we got to pull in. Back then, we bought basically every ammo can they had, you know, boxes of these matchstick holders, mm-hmm. and lugged them back to Spokane.
Yeah.
And the ammo cans are interesting. They're in the back of our rig, and when you climb up the mountains, they start compressing.
Yes.
The Continental Divide twice.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, and they start popping, and then when you get down to the bottom, they expand and start popping.
Really? Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That much of a pressure change. That's interesting.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is really cool. Mm-hmm. So it starts going that way, and we start going through the years, and then I start seeing other companies having cash advance stuff in it.
Yeah.
How did that start working?
Funny you ask that. I was just thinking about that. Yeah, well, so we started our own website and stopped doing all eBay things.
Right.
And then I started receiving emails and phone calls from other vendors or people wanting to open up a geocaching store, saying, you know, we really like your products,
mm-hmm.
and how do we resell them? I'm like, let's figure something out. So then I started working on retail pricing,
right.
or wholesale pricing along with retail, and then packaging. So we're brand. It took me a few years to realize I really need to brand my own products.
Yeah.
And geocaching.
Is this before the name, or is this when the name came?
Actually, I got the name before I opened my store, before I opened my company, about 3 minutes before. I was literally on the elevator going up to register my business when I knew that I had this idea that I wanted to move forward. I needed a business license for Spokane.
Right.
And it's a 3-story building. It's one of the taller ones in North Spokane.
All 3.
Yeah, all 3. And it was on the 3rd floor. So I just, the doors closed to the elevator, and I'm on my way up. I don't have a name for my business. And by the 3rd floor, cash advance just popped into my head. So,
Not to get off track before we go to the other part. How much of a problem has that darn dash caused you?
Not too much.
Because cash dash advance, it's easy to say once you say it, but trying to get people to remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to say cash dash or hyphen advance.com.
Yeah.
And that tends to work.
Yeah.
I've been offered cashadvance.com a few times. People that own it try to sell that to
me. Oh, nah, yeah. I ain't going away.
Too much.
Is a squatter sitting on it?
Pardon me?
Is it a squatter? Is it a squatter just sitting on it? A squatter?
Right now it is, yeah. It was used at the time when I registered my business. That's why I went with the dash.
Cashadvance.com. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. But I own many other domains now.
Oh, sure. So,
yeah.
It's all part of, that's part of the biz. Yeah. It just is. Yeah. It just is.
Ones that are close. Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. So when I think I've kind of hit my big time breakthrough was when geocaching.com said, hey, we'd like to resell your products.
There you go.
And oh, sure. Yeah, so we made all their travel bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Now we make their bolts, the rocks, the gum, the reflectors. I'm sure I'm missing something, a few other things. Dr. Beast repair kits. Yeah.
Right.
You just sell them the light stuff, and I have to move the head.
Yeah. UPS guy. It's like another box of rocks.
Really. It's like, yay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So actually, today, my business is probably about 85 to 90% wholesale.
Wow, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, before the cash crate started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how is that going?
Fabulous.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Is it,
and how come we don't have free ones?
I was waiting. Oh. I was waiting. Save me from having to ask.
Yeah. Come on, we're hosts and you support the show.
No pressure whatsoever.
We don't want to
take our sponsor and have her under pressure. I'm just saying.
Ow.
They want toys.
Ow.
They like toys just like everybody else.
Hey, subscription. So.
Yeah.
I would talk about a couple promo. If I had one,
we send out a couple promo crates every month.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll work you guys into the
there. You go. See, mm-hmm. Are you happy? Okay.
Yeah, I've bought from you before.
Excellent.
Scott, don't be surprised if your cash crate is like 50 rolls of camouflage.
There you go. Got to get rid of the stuff somehow.
Yeah.
Write it off.
Yeah. Trust me, camo tape.
I was going to say, we can do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I've been really tickled.
Your selection for the month. Is there a process for the cash crates?
Yeah, there is. Curating. We call it curating when you're picking out the different items that mm-hmm. you're going to bring into the crates. The first couple of months, it was a little more. There wasn't a theme, I guess, for the actual crates themselves, but we wanted to include a trackable and items that you would use for hiding, finding caches, basically.
Sure.
And now we're really thinking a couple of months out and even longer than that mm-hmm. and looking at actually theming each crate. So as you all know, in April we did CETO.
Right.
So it was different items mm-hmm. that you might want or use while you're out doing cleanups.
Right.
And then this last one that went out was all about night caching.
Now with the stuff, do you try to keep up or does geocaching.com give you any heads up of, like say for example, all the adventure cache stuff that's coming up over the next couple of months and having an adventure theme, that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they every now and then remember to
that's about
all
it.
The distributors and potential vendors to them
right.
and on what their future plans are so we can coordinate. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's awesome! Mm-hmm. So now you've got this great venture going on, and you're everywhere, and you're having fun with that, and yet you still go out and personally do all these events.
Absolutely!
Holy cow!
Yeah, I try to when I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. We do about 3 to 4 megas a year,
mm-hmm.
and this year has been a little bit different for us. There's ones that I've always gone to
mm-hmm.
in the past, and this year we're trying to mix it up, and I'm trying to hit the ones that I haven't made yet. So it may take a few year process, mm-hmm. actually, for the regular megas that happen every
year. Sure.
Yeah, so, and timing is mm-hmm. particular, too.
Right.
Last year for CoinFest, mm-hmm. It was a week apart from going caching,
right.
and mm-hmm. 800 and some miles apart.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So,
no, it's not.
Not for you guys. Not the way you go around. Yeah.
So we devised a plan to, take enough vacation on my part mm-hmm. from, the man's job and working for the man. And then going to both those events.
Yeah.
And then same with this year. So Allegheny State Park was last weekend, Woodstock this weekend, mm-hmm. and they're close together. And by the way, we need 14 states anyway. So,
hard trip.
Yeah.
Just because.
Yeah.
So how was Allegheny? I heard a little rain, but what's up?
Yeah, it did rain a little bit here and there. We were under a big tent, so we weren't. Yeah. And unfortunately, when you're vending, you're a little bit place bound.
Yes.
But it's also a good thing because everybody comes by and gets to visit with you.
Oh, yeah.
So we do get a chance to see everybody. We just don't get a chance to get out and do much caching.
Yeah.
And Allegheny was, mm-hmm. I think actually good for the vendors because of the rain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got them to all come in. Back, captive audience. Yeah. I like that.
Under the tent where they, you know, the only hole was right above our booth and it was dripping on them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had one little drip.
Just
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
And that was the only thing.
You didn't have a bowl for something out of all the stuff you guys got?
Yeah.
No. So, yeah, that was our only thing we could complain about. So it was a very good trip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. And we stayed in the brand new cabins. Yeah, we shared. We had some other friends that needed a place to stay as well. So
sure.
it ended up there were, what, six of us
mm-hmm.
in these cabins, but they were fantastic.
That's
really
awesome.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and geocaching or GeoWoodstock is going to be interesting. I look at the overhead view at the vending area,
mm-hmm.
and I can't help thinking we're going to just be all bumping elbows with how that is.
It's like, hard to say.
Florida, yeah. I remember it was spread out over 5 miles.
That's what we heard.
To go over mm-hmm. to, through all that stuff. And GoCaching was nicely placed. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had just enough room and a nice big field and everything mm-hmm. else to go mm-hmm. around with this. It's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. It's going to be. And so come on by and make sure you check out Cache Advance and GeoSnippets and all the rest of the folks that are going to be there. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So now we got you. Speaking of captive audience, since you're here,
mm-hmm.
What's coming up? Future plans, things going on. I know the Cache Crate's doing great, but what'd you do for us lately?
Well, you know what? Another thing that we wanted to talk about was a little over a year ago, we purchased Cache Addict.
Yes. And I have my board cube right up there.
Oh, that's a different style.
That's the original. I bought that at Florida. Or no, what is it? Yeah, it was Florida for that
Florida?
One.
Florida? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah, the ones we have now are black nickel.
Yes, they're very nice.
Yeah.
We gave one away. Just saying.
Yes. So that was new for us. That was something I had never done was trackables.
Yeah.
Yeah, after being in business for years and years and years, there are lots of other coin vendors, and I saw them go through their heights in the late, like, 07, 08, mm-hmm. and then a lot of them went away.
Yeah.
They lost their businesses mm-hmm. when our economy mm-hmm. didn't do so well.
Yep,
sure.
So when the opportunity came up for Cache Addict, for the acquisition to happen, I jumped on it.
Sure.
And it seemed like the thing to do, and it's worked mm-hmm. out really, really well. And that's where JD has really been a big part of our company.
That's great.
He manages all of the projects that we have when we are doing custom trackables for anybody.
Right. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're doing, and tying in, our next vending event, I believe, is going to mm-hmm. be at the Tri-Cities GeoCoin Challenge in mm-hmm. Washington State. And they commissioned us to do the coin for that event. And this coin turned out great. And I'm like you. I can't even draw a bass. So
no.
I don't know why I'm designing coins, right?
Yeah.
And so on, if the design doesn't come to us, we have a batch of artists from, you know, $75 for the project up to... like Chris Mackey,
sure.
will do designs mm-hmm. for us. And this Tri-Cities coin came out awesome. It's hard to describe it. The base of it is like a pirate map. And all four of the Tri-Cities...
they added a city.
I guess.
They have an X marks a spot on the map, and each city has a gem in the X. But this X is actually what's trackable. So there's four tracking numbers that will go to this coin set. And then the X's, or the cities, are snapped into place by a magnet on the map.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out,
magnet.
It just, we're all, oh, what happened here? And, you know, what did we get ourselves into? And it turned out fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our next event we're going to. We also mm-hmm. made... The coins for, I'll call them local, Mount Vernon, Washington,
mm-hmm.
Parks and Rec, they have an annual geo tour type mm-hmm. thing. And then our neck of woods, the Pendere County, they're doing a geo tour, and we mm-hmm. built 50 coins for them.
Mm-hmm.
So
Washington State geo tour as well,
Washington
the parks.
State, the parks
mm-hmm.
one.
Mm-hmm.
We did their second minting
mm-hmm.
on those coins. So, yeah, that is keeping us busy with that portion of the business. Mm-hmm. It's been a good acquisition.
That's great.
And then Mike Atwell, who we bought the company from, has just been great and supportive, mm-hmm. and he's throwing ideas our way, and and so yeah, it couldn't have been better.
Now I'm going to jump out of the limb because I don't have 100% fact on this, but if somebody wants to have a geocoin made, you guys are just as much of an option to go to and have custom coins made, yes?
Absolutely.
Because you've got everything else that you've going on here. Hey, why not?
Yeah.
That's good. Why don't you tell them just a little bit more on that, too, if they want an option on
that. Well, there's actually a place on the Cash Advance website to do just that. Mm-hmm. You can put in your order, and to keep costs down as much as possible, what we encourage is for you to design your front, how you want your coin to look, and then use one of our backs that are already pre-made. So you avoid the cost of an additional mold, things of that nature.
Sure.
And that, when you are making 50 to 100 coins, that really affects the cost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we had one customer do just that right off the website. She sent us the artwork. We fixed it up a little bit, sent it back to her. Okay, that's what we want. And the process is we submit this to the mint we use.
Mm-hmm.
They actually make a factory blueprint that they send back to us, much like graphics and proofs. You know,
sure.
And we send this to the clients and get everybody's approval. Make sure that the word summer has two M's in it.
Yeah.
And once that's said, we give the approval to the mint and. Coins roughly 22 days later, they're at our door.
Wow, that's quite a turnaround.
Yeah, and they come quickly too. It's incredible. We get a notice that they ship from the factory, and two days later, UPS guy is, hey, I got all these coins.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's one version of coins that we can do to really help keep the cost down.
Right.
Another one is Cashkins.
I was going to ask about Cashkins.
Yeah, we're doing a lot more Cashkins, especially for groups and clubs.
Right.
Geo tours.
Mm-hmm.
They're also we just did one for
Phoenix
Geo tour as well.
Yeah, Phoenix Children's Hospital. Yeah.
So if for people that are in geocaching, if they've been in a lot and you look at the connection that I've got behind me here, and you want to have your own geo coins made, you have to understand there is a substantial amount of money that's involved with that as opposed to a Cashkins. How much of a difference is there as far as if you want to have that made as opposed to a geocoin percentage wise? Is it like a tenth of it or
maybe a third?
A third?
Of the cost, roughly? Again, it depends on how many.
Right.
Yeah, the cost goes down. It's the economy of scale.
Sure.
So your first one out of the box is going to cost a lot, and then after that, it's
right. What describe what a Cashkin actually is?
Probably. So it's a metal tag.
Right.
That hardened aluminum. Generally, on one side is where you have your design. It can be cut into any shape you wish.
Right.
And then your design is printed on one side, and on the back side is your tracking information, trackable at, or any other words you want. In rare occasions, we'll have both sides printed. But, you know, somewhere on there, it has to say, you know, track at geocaching.com.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. So you've got all this fun stuff going. Any major things? Now, you've got the mustache thing going.
Yeah.
How's that doing?
It's doing okay.
Is it?
Yeah. It's probably going to be a smaller, niche-y thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not like the travel bugs that went on in the vehicles.
Right.
That was huge.
We satellites. I still have people asking.
Yeah. We sold those, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not as many. But, yeah, we have definitely sold some of the mustaches, and they come in the different sizes to go if you want to put a bigger one on the front of your car.
Oh, yeah.
Or a smaller one on the back. Sure. Or in your window at your office, what have you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think the other big thing coming up would be we are launching a geo tour this
That's
summer.
Right. Yes, yes.
Yeah. It's the week before the block party. So if you're coming to Seattle for the block party, the last block party.
Yes.
Yeah. And we will have a special block party block cube, six coin set for that as well, all new.
Mm.
But yeah, the week before, come early, come to Spokane. And do our kickoff to our Geo Tour event and earn a coin.
Now, guys, did you pick up on this as well? This is also the last GIF they're doing for the movies, the videos, the last GIFF.
Is it? I saw
someplace, I think earlier in the week, that said the third and final. And I went, so how much are we shutting down? is one of my questions. I'm going to see if I can get a hold of Eric and find out some more on that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, interesting stuff.
And then if you come out all that way to do...
They've only done like three, right? How many have they done of those?
This will be the third. Matter of fact, if you go to Geo Woodstock this year, I think it's Friday night or Saturday night. They're actually going to show the GIF videos.
Maybe it's either not getting enough people or it's not lucrative enough.
I don't know. Just happened to notice it.
Maybe just not enough people are putting in entries.
That could be. Yeah. That could be.
I mean, there's like five vloggers.
yes, there is.
Yeah.
And everyone I've talked to said the same thing. I don't have time.
So, as a shout out to my local people, once our event, and you've done Block Party, go ahead and do the Going Ape event.
Oh, yeah.
Washington State Geocaching Association puts that on.
That's awesome.
About 30 miles away or so.
Is that when you go to where it was, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
What's that?
The tribute.
It's about a 50-minute drive over there.
Isn't that going where the cache was, correct? Isn't that what it is?
Pretty much.
It's a tribute cache now. You don't get the ape icon anymore.
No, I missed it. The first time I did that event, I missed the ape cache by, I think, a month and a half. Oh. So I had to fly down to Brazil.
I was going
to
say, you got your emblem, buddy.
Yeah.
No rub in there. I'm sorry, your connection's breaking up. Well, that's awesome. All right, guys, any other final things? If people want to get in touch with you for anything that deals with Cache Advance, not that they haven't heard of our sponsors, but how can they get a hold of you through your social networks and stuff?
Sure. Well, we are definitely on Facebook, so it's facebook.com/CacheAdvance, no hyphen. Same with Twitter, and we're at Cache Advance. And Google+ as well. Look for us there. I think it's Cache Advance, plus Cache Advance. And then definitely our website, either cache-advance.com or cachecrate.com.
That's awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for driving all the way from Washington State to the GeoSnippet Studios from the West Coast to the East Coast.
Yeah, well, thank you so much.
So you guys can come by anytime you want. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's awesome. We're glad you're here. All right, guys, anything else before we go on your end?
Nope. Lisa, always a pleasure to see you.
Well, thank you.
And yes, he'll keep harassing you.
And for the official record, Lisa, none of us are happy that you changed that intro.
You guys might have been part of why I did
change. Put it back, Lisa.
I told you they don't pull punches here. I'm telling you.
We fear change.
Besides, it's much more to mimic to when you know it down verbatim. I'm just saying. All right, good stuff. Let's see, important dates. Geo Woodstock. Wife Amy and I, and plus Lisa and JD, are heading up to Maryland tomorrow, matter of fact. So that's going to go. Be sure that you mark on your calendar for the first of the adventure stuff from geocaching.com. June 19th is the first thing for finding a geocache with 10 or more favorite points. So mark that down for June 19th. We got so much stuff coming up. It's going to be great. Thank you again, guys. That was awesome. That is really, really cool.
All
right. Good stuff. Next week, of course, we're going to give you all the goodies that we have pulled in for interviews and everything else at the GeoSnippets booth, and we're going to be just walking around and getting all sorts of information from all the people that are walking around Geo Woodstock. So that'll be coming to us next week on the Geocaching Podcast. All right, let's do this thing. We'd like to thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. We want to thank cache-advance.com. I get to say it face-to-face here. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Heart Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Chad Courtney. This show is copyright 2015 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.